We're talking with Michael Kelsey, Executive VP of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, lots of concerns still out in the country regarding these medical marijuana grow facilities, and OCA has decided to go ahead and take some concrete action as far as a call to state authorities regarding maybe stopping the rise in the numbers of these facilities. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we were very pleased to be a part of a coalition, a good coalition, to ask, respectfully request the new OMMA director, the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority director, Adria Berry, to consider a temporary moratorium or a temporary pause in grower permits. Ron, there's about 8,600, probably close to 8,700 by now, permits, grower permits. And we should say we're only talking about the grower permits, the permit to grow marijuana. We're not talking about the dispensary permits or certainly the patient permits or any of that. We're talking about the grower permits. So we've got probably, by best estimate, 40 to upper 40% of the grower permits in the country, in the United States, are here in Oklahoma. We've got a big problem that we need to get our arms around as a state. And so one of the things we think, we've just come to the point where we think it's appropriate for the director to consider just a pause, a temporary pause, so that they can get, she can get her arms around inspection, certification of the permits, and also gives the legislature time to consider regulatory action of these grow houses, whether it be waste disposal, water usage, some of those types of things. But we were very pleased to be a part of this coalition requesting that.
Why is the cattle industry, why are your producers so concerned about this rapidly rising number?
That is a great question, Ron, and I really appreciate you asking that. And so the reason it is I've never received this type of input from membership regarding the effect on the rural way of life here in Oklahoma. And certainly we think about the illegal side of growing marijuana, and lots of folks have heard stories. OBN, the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics, is doing a great job of trying to round up some of these illegal operations. But just the massive growth in the total number of operations is really overwhelming rural Oklahoma. And so our members are challenged when it comes to rural water, utility, over-taxation of utility or over-usage of utility, such as water, such as electricity, those types of things. We're also seeing challenges regarding not this time of year, because it's not the time of year to necessarily apply herbicide, but earlier in the year when it was time to apply herbicides, we were seeing some of our members who were not able to apply herbicide to their land because either the applicator or they had fear of the ramifications of if that spray were to drift. And so, you know, those types of effects that we're seeing on rural Oklahoma, this is fundamentally changing the fabric of rural Oklahoma. And we're just asking and wanting to, our members have said, it's time for us to consider how we address this. And we think at this point in time, a temporary pause in the number of in the issuance of grower permits gives us an opportunity to do that.
Have you had the opportunity to get any feel of how this might be received by the organization, by this regulatory agency?
You bet. By OMMA Director Berry. And I should say, again, I want to make it very clear, Director Berry is fairly new in her position, about 3 weeks or so. She's doing a fantastic job. She's really trying to get out and about and get around the countryside and so forth. Our conversation with her has been very good. Our internal task force reached out to her a couple of weeks ago, and we had part of this conversation with her. Now, we didn't do an official request then because we wanted to reach out to some of our like-minded organizations that have policy to do so. But nonetheless, we've had good conversation with her. She's indicated she has received the letter, and she is determining what her ability to respond to that letter is. And we think that's fair. We need to give her an opportunity to look at the law see what she has the authority to do and what perhaps the ramifications are. We want to be honest in this discussion and in this request. And so we appreciate that. Again, she's doing a great job. We're very appreciative of Governor Stitt for appointing Adria Berry as the director. We think she's going to do a good job, and she is doing a good job in that position.
You mentioned the fact, obviously, you want to give the legislature some time to kind of ponder their ability to maybe rein this thing in a little bit. We've got, obviously, some interim studies that have been going on. What do you think? What's the legislature thinking right now? Where are they headed?
That is a great question too, Ron, and that's another reason we're kind of where we are at this point, because as of the legislative sessions that we, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, have been involved in, and many of our friends as well, a couple in the House, one or two in the Senate, we've got a few more that are coming up before the fall season ends. So far, the reaction we're getting from the legislature is, oh, wow, this is a big, big problem. We need to be working on this. We need to do some things on this. Now, what exactly needs to be done is a great question. We need to get around the table. All those of us in rural Oklahoma that have an interest, let's get around the table. Let's work on this together. We're not talking about repealing State Question 788. Let me be very clear on that, because that in itself is a major discussion. We're talking about addressing the grow side of marijuana, specifically the rural side, and just the explosive growth and the number of grow houses and grow facilities that we're seeing across the state of Oklahoma. So far, we've had excellent, very good response from legislators saying, hey, I want to help. I want to participate in this in some solution-oriented. Let's work together to move forward in a positive manner that still allows the will of the people in the approval of that state question, but also addresses just the what we would call the holes that the question created, whether it be regulatory or permitting or whatever the case may be. And so we've had some positive response. We look forward to continuing down that road.
For the OCA specifically, you obviously had an extensive conversation at your meeting in July. I would think what you're probably going to be trying to fine-tune that at your meeting just ahead of the regular general session come first of the year.
Yeah, it will. And we anticipate that in January, when we have our winter policy meeting, we'll continue to have this discussion. And that's appropriate. That's another reason we put that meeting in January, is because we need to be flexible as an organization. And as we learn what we're able to do in terms of what the law allows outside of statute, in other words, through the rulemaking process, but also what we've identified as, okay, we need to do some statutory change here and there, it gives us an opportunity to be flexible. So I can imagine that our members will be coming in January with updated information. If the director is able to respond to this request, hopefully she is, and she grants it, then we'll have an opportunity in that setting. If she's not able to respond to it because of the way the statute's written or something, we may want to address that as well. And so I think we'll have an excellent, healthy discussion, as will we know some of our friends in rural Oklahoma as they go through their policymaking process. They're sharing with us that they're having a lot of the same discussions and questions as well. And so we look forward to seeing how their policy may shape out and then how we can continue to work together.
End of the day, this obviously has just kind of blown up literally here in 2021 as much as anything regarding how it is impacting our farmers, our ranchers. Are they giving you any fresh stories about, you know, what they're really running into as far as maybe some unsavory elements and the like?
We continue to hear those really scary stories, and a lot of, again, as you mentioned, a lot of it's just unknown. These neighbors that are moving in, they're not us, if you will, and that doesn't necessarily in itself mean it's bad. But again, if you not, we're a very rural Oklahoma is a very neighborly environment, and when you have an industry that's about 3 years old, and it exceeds the number of wheat farmers in Oklahoma, pork farms, of dairy farms, of soybean farms in Oklahoma, in terms of the number of permits, that's an explosive growth And so we, you know, we're hearing some more stories, and we're asking our members to be very documenting in those types of manners. You know, take down, if you see something that's nefarious or see something that's questionable, take down license plate numbers. You know, we need to give our law enforcement friends specific data. It's unfortunate that we just haven't had to do that in rural Oklahoma, and here we are having to do so. Now, all that being said, there are certainly some legitimate business models out there. We've got some friends and neighbors who are growing the product. They're trying to do so in a law-abiding manner, and we've learned through some of the legislative interim studies. But we also know this is just a tremendous amount of unknown and a tremendous negative, in our opinion, effect on rural Oklahoma. It just seems appropriate to have a pause, and then let's move forward together.